I am a wordsmith by trade. I am a marketing man. I deal in and only in the publishing of words. In the faith, all of God's children are in fact wordsmiths. Psalm 68:11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. It is by God's words that we have been created, and it is totally by his words that we live and have our being. We are made out of words. This feature is an aggregation of Holy Ghost words that will clear the smoke, invigorate the soul, and redeem the lost, if only that we act upon them. Examples of Holy Ghost power follow. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you have yet to be born again, these words are very hard to fathom, but that can all change today. Jesus Christ reveals the mystery of mysteries kept secret since the beginning of the earth unto Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When you are born again, you are literally born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God. Here, everything will change. Today, every sin you have ever committed will be forgiven and expunged from your record, washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. You will be born again. Today, all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken. The bigger, the better. The chains are gone. Today, you will begin your marvelous new journey on the highway of holiness. In just a few moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt. And if you do, it all begins today. It's here that the miracle of a transformed life begins. Here is the prompt I promised. Ready? Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Genesis 3:1-5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God said, Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God said, John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Man said, all roads lead to Rome. Choosing a religion is irrelevant. Everybody knows that. Just be a good person and you'll get there, right? Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1209, that will once again proclaim and prove the inerrancy of God's beautiful book. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and as a platform for which to convince the gainsayers. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May God fill your life with the love, light, and life of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the champion of our souls. At last count, there are nearly 4,000 recognized religions in this world. For example's sake, let's suppose the number is an even 4,000. Though they may hate and despise each other as they will, 3,999 of these recognized religions will gather together under one common umbrella with one common denominator, their rejection of the one true religion. Most will be shocked at what follows in this short series, but the answer will be inescapable. This is a very large deal. In fact, the largest deal ever for the world as we know it ends as a result of the controversy that rages around the question, which religion? Over 20 years ago, God Said, Man Said published a feature answering the question of which religion. We will pull excerpts from that feature, as well as add additional proof material. The following paragraph is from the feature, Which Religion? The question of which religion must begin with a definition of terms. Noah Webster's first 1828 dictionary definition of religion states, 1. Religion, in its most comprehensive sense, includes a belief in the beginning and the perfections of God, in the revelation of his will to man, in man's obligation to obey his commandments, in a state of reward and punishment, and in man's accountableness to God, and also true godliness or piety of life with the practice of all moral duties. Noah Webster's last definition of religion states, this is 4, any system of faith and worship. In this sense, religion comprehends the belief and worship of pagans and Mohammedans as well as Christians, any religion consisting in the belief of a superior power or powers governing the world, and in the worship of such power or powers. Thus, we speak of the religion of the Turks, of the Hindus, of the Indians, etc., as well as the Christian religion. We speak of false religion as well as of true religion, end of quote. In the Bible, Brother James defines religion in James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. True religion before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Both of these things require the words and instruction of the living God. But which God? How do we know for sure? Can we know for sure? End of quote. It is certainly important to note that true religion will be the truth. The nature of truth is not tolerance, as many would suggest, but rather to the contrary. Truth has, in fact, zero tolerance. Truth has no equals. Truth has no companions. Truth has no opinions and does not honor them either. 2 + 2 = 4 and 3.9 won't do, no matter how eloquently presented. Truth stands alone. Our religions are an aggregation of words. It will become obvious in these features that it is entirely and completely a matter of words, and it matters whose words they are. Everything is a word issue. God and his Christ are words, not printer's ink and paper, but living words. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Of Jesus Christ, Revelation 19:13 reads, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Nearly 40 years ago, I was attending a Little League baseball game that my oldest son was playing in. I was speaking with another parent who was not a believer, and the Bible came up. The other parent thought he would terminate the discussion by dismissing the Bible as, it's just words, as though words were inconsequential. I retorted that everything was literally made out of words and offered to certify my claim by proving that the car he arrived in was most literally made out of words. the other parent scoffed, "Try it." This is what I told him. Many years ago, before there was an automobile, a man was driving down the road in his horse-drawn buckboard, taking all day to travel 20 miles, a trip that would take 20 minutes in today's climate-controlled vehicles. The sun beat down and the flies circled his head. The man thought, silent words, that it sure would be nice if he had a horseless carriage. He rolled the idea around in his mind, with silent words, all the way home. When our excited inventor finally got home, he took out a tablet and a pen and wrote down, using words, his plan for the first horseless carriage. At this point, I asked the other parent what we had so far, and he correctly answered words, and I continued. So the inventor got out his pick and his shovel and started to dig up the necessary minerals, the iron ore, that God had spoken into existence. He then smelted it down to steel, and the steel was formed into the required parts in the written plan. The inventor put the word parts together and drove by tuning his horn in his word mobile. From the thought, words, to the parts, words, I showed that an automobile was literally made out of words. Everything is surely made out of God's words, just as the Bible declares, Psalms 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. One of the cardinal laws of science is known as the first law of thermodynamics, which is also called the law of conservation. This law states that neither matter nor energy can be created or destroyed. You can change the form, but not the quantity. You cannot add to or take away from what was originally created. 3,000 years ago, before science even had the foggiest idea, this foundational law of science was written in Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Science now knows that energy, which is photons or light packages from the sun, actually create matter, the substance of physical things. Light is the life source, and of course this is true because 1 John 1:5 tells us that God is light. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Going a step further, as a result of advances in quantum consciousness, some scientists theorize that it will soon be established that words of wisdom and knowledge actually create energy. In the book G.O.D. Experiments, written by Schwartz and Simon, you'll find this quote from Gerald L. Schroeder, Ph.D. Changing one's paradigm is not easy. Millennia passed before humankind discovered that energy is the basis of matter. It may take a few more years before we prove that wisdom and knowledge are the basis of and can actually create energy, which in turn creates matter. End of quote. Once again, science is knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. The Bible clearly states that God's words of wisdom and knowledge precede light, which is energy. Keep in mind that God is light and God is the Word, and they are interchangeable. But watch this. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Notice that the words precede the light. Psalms 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. He giveth understanding unto the simple. Again, words preceding light. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is entirely a word issue. Entirely. God has the controversy with the nations, and this world will end as a result of this controversy. Isaiah chapter 34 prophesies of the world's soon coming end at the Battle of Armageddon. Verses 1, 2, and 8 follow. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses, for the controversy of Zion. God has a controversy that will be settled. The revelation of this controversy is discovered in the very beginning where, for man, it actually originates. The controversy was and is entirely a word issue, and it began in Genesis 3:1-5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It was a word issue. Eve decided to believe Satan's words over God's. That day, both Adam and Eve lost their immortality, died the second death, the spiritual death, and were booted out of paradise. This is where the controversy began. The first religion was the Word of God, which is enjoyed by the faith of His children in His Word. The second religion was Satan's word of unbelief and contradictions, and the second religion spawned thousands. The true religion is a living book, strictly a matter of words. Psalms 138:2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. There is no book or group of books under the sun that can stand in the presence of God's holy Bible. This should not surprise us when Revelation 1:8 speaks of Jesus Christ as the Alpha and the Omega. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega, every letter in between, and every word those letters form. Just as every knee will bend and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, so shall every book bow before God's holy Bible, for Revelation 19:13 says of Jesus Christ, and his name is called the Word of God. Every book will bow. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature, 21 Signs of Doomsday, Update 74, Absurdities Compounded, Part 5. Remember, the issue is God's Word the true religion? God Said, Man Said uses four truth platforms to establish the bona fides of God's beautiful book. Platform number one is titled Archaeology, and under this banner you'll find paleontology, anthropology, geology, ancient history, and ancient societal records. Platform number one certifies the absolute accuracy of God's holy Bible, miracles and all. Platform number two is prophecy. God tells the end from the beginning and uses his prophecy to establish the supernatural and perfect nature of his word. Isaiah 41:21-24. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught, and abomination is he that chooseth you. In this category, we employ the laws of probability. For example, what are the chances that a mortal man could make all the contingent predictions of the destruction of the ancient city of Tyre and see history verify those predictions? Suppose the odds were one chance out of 5 billion that a mortal man could correctly predict the required events. It would then follow that the chances were 4 billion 999,999,999 out of every 5 billion that it was God. There is no book like God's majority text, Holy Bible. Platform number 3 is called God Said, Man Said, from which this ministry derives its name. In this category, a biblical commandment, precept, or insight is highlighted. Man's mockery or disregard is recorded, and the results are presented. The cardinal law of Galatians 6:7 rules here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There are nearly 1,000 features in this category, each demonstrating the results of this global field study of carnal man's refusal of God and his wisdom. Unsurprisingly, the results have been deadly indeed. One particularly timely example of man's disregard for God's word concerns Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14, which both strongly condemn the bat, you know, like the one that flies in the air. We are commanded not to eat bats, and we are further commanded not to even touch the carcass of the bat. Carnal men chose to disregard God's commandments, be it at a wet market or a lab in China, whichever doesn't make any difference, and the deadly results were COVID-19 and the global pandemic. Bats are bad news, says God, but man knew better. Platform number 4 is titled The Historicity of Jesus Christ, and this platform establishes beyond any reasonable doubt that Jesus Christ was and is what the Bible claimed him to be, that he did what the Bible recorded him as doing, and you can be sure that he will be returning just as the Bible says he will. History, archaeology, geology, astounding fulfilled prophecies, and apostolic testimonies certify God's only begotten Son, the Lord of glory. Absurd, yet the world's academics bow. Mathematics has a concept called absurd. The following excerpts are from Dr. Chuck Missler's book, Beyond Coincidence. While nothing is considered impossible in statistics, merely highly improbable, there has to be a point in the mathematics where it's justified to call it quits and say enough's enough. In his 1962 book, Probabilities of Life, mathematician Emil Borel suggests that probabilities become too negligible to worry about on a cosmic scale after 1 to the 10 to the 50th power. Odds of 1 in a trillion, 10 to the 12th power, it may not get many investors, but it's still remotely possible. On the other hand, a chance of 1 to 10 to the 50th is inconceivable. It's defined mathematically as absurd. Dr. Warner Gitt is a highly credentialed scientist and professor in the field of engineering. Dr. Gitt has published numerous research papers in the fields of information science, numerical mathematics, and control engineering. He addresses the absurdity of biblical unbelief in his most recent book, Information, the Key to Life. In the following excerpts, the doctor addresses biblical prophecies. According to Dake's Bible, 3,268 verses contain biblical prophecies that have already been fulfilled. In the following calculation, we will make the simplifying assumption that the number of verses, V, containing fulfilled prophecies is equal to the number of fulfilled prophecies, N sub P. This simplification is certainly true in the majority of cases overall. However, NP will be several percent smaller than V because one prophecy may require more than one verse. As we will see, even this effect will be more than compensated for by the extremely conservative value P equals 0.5 that we have chosen for the probability of chance fulfillment. The probability, P, that all N sub P equals 3,268 prophecies have been fulfilled by chance is calculated by multiplying 0.5 by itself 3,268 times. P equals 0.5 to the 3,268th, and it equals 1.7 times 10 to the negative 984. It is important to understand the magnitude of this number of P because it gives us a measure of the reliability of the Bible and the degree of its author's knowledge. The number P equals 1.7 times 10 to the negative 984th is exceptionally small, but we will try to picture it with the help of an anthill model. We will show how infinitesimally small P is by imagining an ant heap in which there is only one red ant and all the other ants are black. It is easy to agree that the larger the ant heap, the smaller the probability of randomly picking out one red ant by chance, i.e. blindfolded. The question now to be answered is the comparison, which we'll call C1. How many black ants must be in the ant heap for the probability of picking out the one red ant by chance to equal the probability of 3,268 prophecies being fulfilled by chance? We will approach this interesting question step by step. During a lecture tour in Portugal some time ago, I was invited to speak to some scientists at the University of Lisbon about why I think that the Bible is reliable. I talked about the many prophetical statements that had already been fulfilled, and I soon came to mention our number, P equals 1.7 times 10 to the negative 984th. I then asked the audience whether they thought it was possible that all these predictions had happened by chance, or is there a God who is behind everything? If we can absolutely exclude chance, I asked, is the question about the trustworthiness of the Bible answered and the author's, capital A, omniscience established? In that case, do these prophecies represent the truth? If the prophetic statements are indeed true, and only explicable through the foreknowledge and omnipotence of God, then would we be justified in concluding that all other parts of the Bible must also be true? Example number one, the water glass. There was a glass of water in front of me, and I proposed the rhetorical question whether a glass full of water would be enough to satisfy C1. My standard ant occupies the volume of 10 millimeters to the third, so there would be room for about 20,000 of them in my water glass. The probability for picking out the one red ant by chance is therefore P1 equals 1 over N1 equals 1 divided by 20,000, which is the number 0.00005. Compared with P1 is much too large. We have to increase the number of ants. Example number two, the bathtub. Now consider a bathtub full of ants. There is room for N2 equals 36 million of them. The probability of finding the one red ant by chance is P2 equals 1 over N2 equals 2.8 times 10 to the negative 8th. This number is also far too large compared with 1.7 times 10 to the negative 984th, only 7 zeros after the decimal point as compared to 983 zeros. Hey, we need more ants. The bathtub was not big enough for all the ants, so Dr. Gitt suggested covering the whole of Portugal 5 meters deep, which is over 16 feet, of black ants, and of course the one red ant, the doctor continues. Portugal was not big enough to hold all the ants, so Dr. Gitt suggested covering the entire surface of the earth with 10 meters, 32.8 feet of black ants, and throwing in one red ant. Dr. Gitt explains the probability of picking that one red ant. How shall we perform our selection of a single ant from this heap? Let's take a jet plane and ask the pilot to fly in any arbitrary direction for an arbitrary length of time, say 11 hours and 23 minutes. And then ask him to land among the ants. There, where we have landed by chance, we will open the door, blindly pick an ant. What is the chance that we will choose the only red ant? The calculated probability, P4 equals 1 over N4 equals 2 times 10 to the negative 24. Even this gigantic number of ants would only represent N P in 78 prophecies. We still have too few ants. We have to increase the number of ants to an astronomical number. Let us fill the whole universe with them. Dr. Gitt discovered that the volume of our entire universe could not contain the ants, bringing the good doctor to this conclusion. We need to understand that 10 to the 896th is an unimaginably gigantic number. It is a 1 followed by 896 zeros. The number of universes that we would need is not only trans-astronomical, but trans-trans-trans-astronomical. Are the results of these calculations suitable for drawing conclusions? Yes. I have deliberately done these calculations in several steps in order to present a lasting impression of the overwhelming nature of the mathematical calculation. It is vitally important that all readers become vividly aware of the unambiguous and inevitable conclusion to be drawn from them, namely, that there must be an almighty and omniscient God behind these fulfilled prophecies. We have seen that the calculations produce gigantic, trans-astronomical numbers and stretch our imaginative capacity beyond what we can realistically comprehend. We started with the question, what is the probability that all the biblical prophecies about future events could be fulfilled by chance? We established that the possibility that so many prophecies would later be fulfilled by chance is realistically impossible. A final statement from Information: The Key to Life. The seven conclusions above can be summarized as one general conclusion. The existence of an all-knowing, almighty God has been proven to be true by prophetical, mathematical evidence. This God is the God of the Bible, and He is the only existing God. The Holy Bible is from God and is the truth. End of quote. Mathematically absurd is defined as 10 to the 50th power. The odds of all the fulfilled prophecies recorded in the Bible being a product of mere chance is impossibly absurd. End of quote. Students of God's Word have numbered the prophecies in the Old Testament of the coming Christ that are at around 300. The odds of a mortal accurately making these predictions are absolutely absurd. A few examples. 750 years before Christ's birth, Isaiah 7:14 foretells of the virgin birth. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. 700 years before Christ, Micah chapter 5, verse 2 prophesied that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. 490 years before Christ, Zechariah 11, 12, and 13 says, this Christ will be sold for 30 pieces of silver, which would be used to purchase the potter's field. Verse 12, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. The New Testament records this event in Matthew 26, 15, and then 27, 3 through 8. And said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in, wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. 1,000 years before Christ's birth, the Bible declared the Messiah's crucifixion and death in Psalms 22, 16, and 17. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Doubting Thomas demands to feel the holes in Jesus' hands in John 20, verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. 1,000 years before Christ, it is prophesied that soldiers would cast lots for Christ's clothing at his death. Psalms 22:18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Matthew 27:35 provides this record of the crucifixion. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. 790 years before Christ, the prophet Amos prophesies that the sun would go down at noon during the crucifixion of the Messiah, in chapter 8, verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And sure enough, the New Testament holds that this very thing happened. Matthew 27, 45 and 46. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? One prophecy, stacked upon stacks of prophecies. The world has its nearly 4,000 religions, but only one is certifiably true, and it is a living book. Moses speaks of God's marvelous words in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Deuteronomy 32, verse 31. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Deuteronomy 32, 37, he shall say, where are their gods, their rock, in whom they trusted? Where is their rock? The true religion is the book. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Revelation 19:13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. There is no book like our book, and that living book is the true religion. God said, Genesis 3:1-5, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God said, Psalms 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God said, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Man said, all roads lead to Rome. Choosing a religion is irrelevant. Everybody knows that. Just be a good person and you'll get there, right? Now you have the record.